Father God, just close your eyes. We're going to pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for this group of women. Thank you that we can gather here each and every week. God, thank you that you look down and say, that is my daughter. She is so worth it all. God, may we have a greater affection and a greater realization of who you are. God, thank you for the homes and families represented here. God, may we hate sin and may we love you more. Reveal yourself to us, God, in great and mighty ways. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in your name. Go before us today. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, guys, I have the privilege and honor of introducing to you my husband, Rob. It has been a long time since he has been to this group, but I think in the 12 years, there was one time.
I can speak to that. Last time I was here, there was 12 people. So when Sherry asked me to speak, I was like, yeah, no problem at all. And then I drove into the church parking lot, and it looks like there's church going on. And I walk in here, and this room's full. So yeah, I might need a big glass of water.
Hello, there we go. Rob and I met at Bible school in Texas, and some of you know this, but I'll just really be brief. We've known each other over 27 years. That really ages us.
Yep.
We've been married 24 years in May, 5 kids later, 1 son-in-law and a grandbaby, and I thought it would be just really dynamic to have the two of us come together and speak on family discipleship. We don't have it all figured out, believe me. Okay? But we're going to speak from God's word and share with you how we have discipled our kids.
Yeah. And like Sherry says, yeah, we don't have it all together. You know, she mentioned that there was some mistakes made or whatever. I wasn't here. I don't know what got talked about. Sorry, I missed that week. But, you know, I have to say, like, in the last 24 years of, like, raising 5 kids and still raising kids, we make mistakes. And my first point I wanted to make, yeah, I'll do that, was to just own your mistakes. And mistakes happen, and don't waste them. Use them as an opportunity. This is what I have here, to teach our kids how to own their mistakes. So if our kids can see us apologizing when we go wrong, doing stuff wrong, if they can see us, you know, saying, like, for me, example, you know, I'll just pick one good one. Miranda, you'll remember this one. Probably about, I don't know, I'm going to say half a dozen years ago, we decided to do a family trip and go see Quebec City. And, okay, to start the whole thing off, okay, this is how our trip started, and it just went from here, okay? I couldn't get a rental van or 7-passenger vehicle at the airport. I don't know what happened. Apparently, Dodge Caravans got all recalled the particular year we were there, and there was no 7-passenger vehicles in Montreal. The rental companies were scrambling to fill orders for other people. So there was no vehicle for us to drive when we landed. I was panicking, and my wife leaves. She calls those ones blue jobs, so that was my responsibility to find a vehicle. So I'm a little bit stressed, and the best I could do is we could find 2 cars. They would rent us 2 cars, so we could have, like, 4 of us in one car and 3 in the other, and that didn't really work for us because we wanted to stick together, and Montreal's crazy to drive through and everything else. And we didn't have cell phone plans. So basically what I ended up doing, which is crazy now that I think about it, is I went on Kijiji and I found some random guy selling a van on Kijiji. And I was like, I just, on a whim, I called him up. I'm like, hey, man, this might sound crazy to you. I want to rent your van. And he's like, well, I want to sell my van. I said, yeah, I don't want to buy your van. I'm only here for like 10 days. I want to rent your van. And he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we came to a number that we both agreed on that I thought, well, you know, that seems more or less fair. And he seemed happy with it. And then I had to give him an outrageous deposit, though, for like a quarter of what he was selling his van for in case there was any damage, because there wasn't insurance and that sort of thing. So anyways, that's how our trip started. We have to jump on, all of us, seven of us with our kids. What were they, like 4, 6, 12, 14, 16 or something like that? I don't know. So we get off the plane. We have to go from the plane. I think we went to a train or a bus. What was it? Do you remember, Miranda? Yeah. I don't know, a bus to a train. Basically, yeah, we went from a plane onto a bus to get over, a train or a bus onto a subway or another bus? I don't know. Anyways, we meet this guy just on some random corner at a parking lot, and I'm giving him cash, and it was so sketchy, okay? That's how the trip starts. And from there, we get driving. I get out of Montreal. Things are going good, and we're driving down the road, and we got this van for 10 days. And I'm like, I can't ding this van. I can't do anything. I'm going to lose my deposit. And, you know, we get 20 miles onto the highway towards, I guess we landed in Ottawa. We're driving to Montreal and then going to Quebec City. All the lights come on in the van. First the check engine light comes on, then the, you know, service engine soon light comes on. I'm going like, what have we done? I'm going to blow the engine of this van, then I'm going to have to buy it. And anyways, so long and short of it is, we're driving this van and we use it. It made it to Quebec City, makes it back. There was like rattled and flash lights like a Christmas tree at us the whole way. We camped in Quebec there. It rained pretty much the whole time, so we had to sleep. We had tents, so we were like sleeping in this van. On the way back to drop the van off in Ottawa and fly home, we're going through rush hour traffic in Montreal. We just hit it at the wrong time. It was crazy. This is a whole week now. We've been camping and living out of our suitcases, and, you know, I'm kind of turning into the Incredible Hulk a little bit because I'm done. And we're just driving down the road in rush hour traffic. The kids are kind of fighting and stuff in the background. And this was such a little thing, but one of our daughters, she had like a tub of gummy bears I had just bought. We just opened up. I just passed it back there to get them to be quiet. And she dropped it on this dirty van floor upside down. They went everywhere, right? And first of all, I'm thinking, oh, I wanted to eat some of those, so I was upset about that. And then I'm thinking, I got to clean this van up if I'm going to get my damage deposit back, so I'm upset about that. And I just, like, lost my mind. I was just like, Tiana, what do you think you're doing? And I got really, really upset. And it was just, it was bad. Like, I really, it was kind of stealing her life away a little bit, just the way I had treated her. I don't know, she was probably 12 at the time or 13. Like, it was an accident, right? So, but what I really loved is the other kids were very much indignant with my reaction. They were like, they respect me and I'm dad, but they're like, Dad, I think you were kind of harsh to Tia. It's just, you know, so, and they were right. And I had to, in that moment, I want to model the Father's love to my children, right? We all want to model God's love to our children. But sometimes the best ways you can do that is, you know you're wrong, even when you think you might be wrong, you're not sure, just own the mistake and apologize. I apologized, you know, it says in, Lamentations. Yeah, what's that? 3:22, you know that one.
Yeah. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they are new every morning.
Yeah.
Great is his faithfulness. So I'm thankful they're new every morning,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. So every day is a fresh start. Every day, you know, is like, you know what? Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every single morning. I'm so thankful for that because as parents, we do make mistakes. We mess up all the time, but it's important because if we can own our mistakes, we teach our kids to own their mistakes. We teach our kids a posture of taking responsibility, and it even teaches them like repentance, because that's what we're doing. We're apologizing and saying, hey, I'm really going to try not to do that again. So that was my first point. I guess I jumped the gun a bit because we had a video we wanted to show. So yeah, let's watch it. It's fun.
Don't Don't make me count to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's the parent rap, y'all. We may spend most of our time chasing toddlers down, but we still know how to rock the hizzle.
I don't even know what you just said.
We used to be cool, back in the day, back on the block, watching PG-13 movies, staying up way after dark. Then we had a couple shorties, and now we're really flossy, because now we be rolling with our own little posse in the minivan, or in our little wagon. Let me throw it to moms, because the little one is sagging.
I used to bling it up, I used to dress real shoot. Now I accessorize the food that's already been chewed, and that's all right. I make this diaper bag look good when I'm walking through the mall trying to wrangle my brood. My PB&Js will set your world on fire. I could make you mac and cheese blindfolded on a wire. I'm wiping the doo-doo, kissing the boo-boos, got them eyes in the back of my head. I see all you do, using your full name so you know I ain't playing. And that's why all my kiddos, they keep saying,
Mom, Mom, she's the bomb. Rocking all night till the break of dawn. Cooking MPs so I'll grow up strong. Got my second seatbelt if we crash head on.
Dad, Dad, he's the man. Working real hard to support the clan. Trading in his Porsche for an old sedan. Raising those brows if we get out of hand.
When it comes to Candyland, I'm a stone cold player. Helping out with the homework, I'm an algebra slayer. Wrestle car seats into place without spilling my mug. If I tuck you in at night, you'll be as snug as a bug. Then I'm off in the morning to make that cheese. You may not know this yet, but it doesn't grow on trees. Now mama, take it please. What? Take it.
I'm dropping timeouts like the hot potty, training on my tots, washing all the pans and pots, tying little shoes and knots, giving knowledge to your brain like if your friendship off a train. You don't have to do the same, now get your toys out of the rain. I'm cleaning every spill, cutting coupons like a bill. If you need parental skill, now you know we are for real. You don't think our rhymes are ill, boy? Then you're grounded for a mil.
Mom, Mom, she's legit. Making us chill when we pitch a fit. Telling us to share and never to hit. If you can't say something nice, put a sock in it.
Dad, Dad, he's the guy. Never gets tired of playing I Spy. With a constant barrage of kids asking why. And he always pretends he needs another tie.
You know money doesn't grow on trees. Why buy the cow if the milk is free? This won't hurt you as much as it hurts me. If you want dessert, eat another veggie. Close that door, you weren't born in a stable. Sit up straight and kiss your Aunt Mabel. Close your mouth when you chew. Get your elbows off the table. Mom and Dad of the year, check it, that's the label.
It's the parent rap, y'all.
And it's a parent.
We're great parents. Mom and Daddy in the house.
Mom and Daddy own the house. Mom and Daddy need to clean the house.
Keep your hands to yourself, boy. Don't make me stop this beat. I'll do it. I'll pull this beat right over.
Okay. Here's what I want to know. How did they have time to, like, do that? Make a rap amidst their chaos. Anyways.
Okay, so second point I wanted to make, I wrote it down here, feed yourself first. Okay, so we just got back from a trip to, Florida, and we were on an airplane, and the flight attendants always do that same announcement, right? They say, in the event of a crash, like we're all going to die anyways, but in the event of a crash, put your mask on first, and then help the people beside you, help your children, whatever. And I just wanted to, you know, kind of make that point, feed yourself first. You can look at having a crying baby versus a bit of mental health and having a quick shower. And sometimes it's okay to put your kid in a playpen or, you know, make sure obviously you're not abandoning them. But put them somewhere, let them cry so that you can have a few minutes of sanity. If it stops you from turning green and smashing things, it's probably worth it. In the same way as your mental health, it's even more important your spiritual health. And so that's kind of where I wanted to dive into with the whole feed yourself first. I remember we had, I think it was Autumn. Was it Autumn or Joelle? I don't know. Anyways, Sherry's, I don't know if this is there's a lot of people to share this, but whatever. Yeah, I might hear it later. Sherry's milk wasn't coming in properly or whatever, and she wasn't getting enough food. So there was a bit of stress there. They were coming in with scales and weighing the baby, like, I don't know, every few hours or every few, I don't know. It was often a lactation consultant had to come in, and they were like, you know, it was very stressful because this baby wasn't gaining weight, and what are we going to do? And you know, it was.
And you have to know Rob. He's the worrier of our relationship. So, you know, he, like, worries way more than I do lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. I do. But when you come in and the lactation consultant has, like, a syringe with, like, milk in it, and you're trying to nurse and feed the syringe, it was just. I was like, okay, there's way too many tubes and stuff here. I'm feeling very nervous. This is something I wouldn't be able to do. So I want to bless all you moms. I would not be able to handle half of what you guys do. Anyways, my point, even after that, the public health nurse would come to our house every week or two, and they had a chart, and they would continue to weigh, and, oh, the baby's gained this much weight, things are good or things aren't. So in the same way, like, I'm sure if one of your kids all of a sudden started losing weight, if something, you know, they started getting sick like that, if your child hadn't eaten in a day, you might be concerned. If they hadn't eaten in 2 or 3 days, you start getting worried. If they hadn't eaten in a week, like, you're going to probably do something about it. You're going to take them to emergency, or you're going to take them to a hospital, do something. In the same way, I just want to encourage you, are you guys feeding yourselves spiritually? Because your spirit needs food the same way, and that's God's word. You know, that's something we need to do daily. We need to be growing. It's your spiritual life isn't something that's gonna just stay at one point. It's either gonna be going up or it's gonna be going down. You know, either we're feeding ourselves or not. So that would have been my second point. And I think
can I say something there?
Yeah.
It's, you know what, obviously we just say this kind of language in our home, because I don't remember when this was. It was a while back now, but Autumn or Joelle, one of them came up to me and they're like, I am so hungry. And I'm like, well, great, then go find something to eat. Like, you're not like a 3-year-old anymore or a 2-year-old. And she goes, no, Mom, spiritually, I'm so hungry. And I was like, oh, I guess we obviously talk like this. And I said, wow, awesome. You know what? So good that you can recognize and see that. And you know what? Now go feed yourself, right? Yes, we as parents totally show them the way and do things with them, read the Bible with them, so on and so forth. But as they get bigger, they're now 10 and 11, and this was already a bit ago, but I always feel once your kids can read, encourage them to start feeding themselves spiritually, right? Because if they grow up with that as not a have to, but as a want to, I'm hungry, it becomes natural for them to even just read their little book or their little daily journal before they actually read the big print, right? Or the, like, you know, the... Because this sometimes, I mean, Action Bible. My kids have loved an Action Bible, or two of them especially have. So anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I did want to say, by our creative design of God, we are cultivators, okay? And I know I talked about gardens and planting a garden a few weeks ago, but we're cultivators. And guys, we walk through peaks and valleys and mountaintops. And like back in September, we studied Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes into, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? So when we go through these valleys, you put your hand up there and say, God, help me. I need help. I can't do this alone. And he's going to bring you up onto a mountaintop or a peak, right? And so he's cultivating in us. He's cultivating. He's not going to leave you there in that valley, right? His grace and mercy are chasing you. And so I want to challenge you, what are you cultivating in your heart each day? Because naturally we are designed to cultivate and actually want more spiritually, even if we don't even recognize that it's your soul that is longing for more. What are you cultivating in your heart each day? Because guys, we have to be aware of what we're cultivating, what we're putting in, what we're making time for, because that's what's going to overflow out of you, right? In the end, it will lead you to be a better parent, a better spouse, a better friend, right? If you are cultivating your soul. We have to focus and just tune our minds and our soul into God's grace and his mercy and his word. And it's a daily fight and struggle because you want it. I think so many of us desire it, but God, where do I fit it in? Please help me, Lord, right? So, yeah.
And I wanted to...
I just need to say too, oh yeah, see, this is us. Because guys, the decisions you're making today will affect how you parent tomorrow. It really will. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted to jump on what she was saying about, the mountains and valleys. And we are all going to have that as parents, right? Like I think being a parent, man, especially you moms, it is such a high calling. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. Who's going to be the greatest? The disciples asked him, and Jesus always said, it's the servant of all. And I mean, you guys as moms, it's a thankless job. You're serving your kids. It's just, you are dying to yourself every day and putting other people's needs in front of your own. So I want to bless you for that and encourage you in that it doesn't go unnoticed. Your Father in heaven does see that, and there is rewards there for that, for what everything you do. But those mountaintops and valleys, probably, I think, as a parent, the highs can be really high and the lows can be really, really low because there's a lot of stress, right? There's things happen, kids get sick or kids aren't listening or whatever's going on in your life. You have so many things going on and you're weary and you're tired and you're exhausted and you wonder, how much sleep am I going to get tonight? And you're in that constant... But it's just a season, right? It's just a season. It's not going to be forever. And Jesus tells us, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what if you don't want to feed yourself because you're so exhausted and so tired and just don't have energy and that's where you're at? So that was my next point. What happens if you're not even hungry? You know, spiritually I'm talking about. My son used to play football. And sometimes when it was a real hot day, the football coaches have these, they're like salt tablets. And the kids are just hot and tired and exhausted, and so they're not drinking enough water. They give them these salt tablets, so it makes them thirsty because they're going to get dehydrated if they don't drink. But none of them want to drink, especially when they're like 14 years old. They're like, just, no, I'm not thirsty. So anyways... In the same way for us, I would say, what you need to do is stir your affections towards God. That's how you're going to make yourself hungry spiritually. And everyone in this is different, I want to say right now. Some people are morning people, some people are night people. I come down in the morning if I get up early and my wife's got her coffee already and she's sitting on the couch and she's got her Bible open and she's just like, looks like, you know... I'm just like, wow, I just want to go back to bed. Like but she loves it, right? She is stirring her affections towards God. And I'm like, if you asked me to do that right now, I would not be a happy guy because I need another hour of sleep here or whatever. But everyone's different, you know, and maybe through, how can you stir your affections towards God? Through music. You're a very musical person. Sherry can go, she can just go into the piano room and like sit down from the piano and start playing and just start worshiping and singing. And I'm always amazed and actually jealous about that because I'm like, it's just like she can get right there into the presence of God, where me, I'm more, you know, I have to open the word and read the Word and just feel like I'm connecting or understanding or learning new things about God. But it's just different, right? Like I can watch a podcast or a sermon that you would think is the most boring thing ever. It's putting you to sleep. So, but we're both stirring our affections towards God.
He likes all these like super intellectual speakers that the words are so big that I just don't even understand. So no, very different, but it's awesome. They are deep and it's good.
So I would just encourage you all, whether it's music, books, podcasts, scripture reading, memorization, prayer, whatever it is for you, find what it is and press into whatever it is stirs your affections towards God, because it's going to want to...
Going outside.
Yeah.
Stepping out your house.
Sure.
Having the wind blow
yeah.
Your hair.
Exactly. Just enjoying creation. The creator, maker of all things, the sustainer of life. Sherry says she's reading Hebrews, you know, and it says in Hebrews, he created all things and sustains all things by the power of his word, right? So you can just identify that and just, you know, use that to stir your affections towards God. In the same way, we need to consciously, and this so much in this digital age we're in, this thing can be the best and worst tool ever. Because it can rob us of our affections towards God. It really can, and that's something we need to back away from. For me, I would, let's say, Netflix would be a bad one for me. When I was, you know, in my late 20s, I would have said video games were something that robbed me of affections towards God. Because, I mean, she used to come down after we put the kids to bed, and I could be in the middle of a game that I'm like 5.5 hours into, and it's 3 a.m, and she would say these lines like, Rob, do you know you're like, she'd come down and go, you're in Regina. You've driven all the way to Regina tonight on your video game console. I'd be like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've been on for 3 hours, okay. Then she'd come down 2 hours later to get a drink. Rob, you're in Swift Current now. How far are you going to drive tonight? So she kind of shamed me like that a little bit, but I grew out of it. I grew out of it, right? It, you know. I think it was having, you know, kid number 4 that made me grow out of that one, because there was no time for that, and I was way too tired to do that anymore. But maybe 3. Maybe it was kid number 3. I don't know. It was right around there, though, right? Right around 30. No, forget it. There's no time. And good thing the kids come one at a time, right? Because otherwise, you know, you'd have to navigate that all with everything else that's going on.
Usually they come
one at a time. Yeah. So I want to say some of the things that may rob you of affections towards God aren't necessarily bad things. It's not like I was in a bad place doing bad things. I wasn't like, you know, gambling all my paychecks down at the casino or something. It was just like, you can just spend time pressing into God or doing things that rob you of your affections towards God. And there's nothing wrong with the things you're doing. It's just kind of look at your time and how you're spending it and try and look at what's important. I like that, what's the name of that, the Chainbreaker guy song? He has a line in it. Yeah, the Rainmaker one? Waymaker. He's got a line in it, put down something's good that for something that's better, right? So maybe Pinterest is awesome and you're learning lots of stuff on Pinterest, and maybe, you know, that blog you're following is great, and maybe Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media feeds you're doing, you know, but for me, I know I can get up in the morning and I can spend an hour just reading the news before I get out of bed, and it's just like right now, it's like coronavirus, and I'm like, can we have some not fake news or whatever? But it's like, it's just like...
That's his opinion.
Yeah. It's always how bad Trump is and coronavirus. But anyways, I go, I spent an hour of my life that I'll never get back on stuff that's so not important. And I really think in this day and age, none of us have an excuse not to feed ourselves, not to stir our affections towards God, because you have some of the best teachings in the world right here on your phone. You can go to any podcast you want. You know, you can download any music. You can go to Spotify and get some of the best praise and worship music out there. You have access to YouTube. You can watch sermons. There's so many ways for you to do stuff. And it's like God's common grace for all of us. It's none of us have an excuse not to. We can, in the car as we're driving, we can put the music on, whatever we're doing. But I would just say, yeah, press into what drives you towards God. And I had a little story about that. And I'm just going to call this guy Antonio. And it's just like a word illustration more than anything. I got asked to preach when we were in Cuba, and I told this story about Antonio. He was the Spanish guy in Cuba, had a good job, actually a great job by Cuban standards, because he worked in the restaurant industry, and that's the one industry where you can make tips and make a lot of money, because most of them make like a buck or two a day. So he has this good job in a good high-end restaurant, and things are going good. The restaurant ends up selling, and they're restructuring, and long and short of it, Antonio loses his job, and he's got a wife, he's got three kids, he doesn't know what to do, and he's panicking. So Antonio sees this advertisement, like a little, I don't know, it was like on a billboard or something, looking for workers to help clear jungle. Okay, so Antonio goes and gets his dad's rusty old hatchet from the back of the shed, and he shows up at the place where the boss is hiring these guys to clear jungle. And the boss takes one look at Antonio, and he sees his soft hands and sees his clean clothes, and he says, yeah, no, this job's not for you. And Antonio was like, I really need this job. I really need to feed my family. I lost my job. Can you please give me a chance? Boss is like, okay, I'll let you. You can work till the end of the day. Okay, so Antonio is like working hard with these other, kind of roughneck guys. But he's working hard. He's actually doing pretty good trying to keep up with them. He's hacking through the jungle, and he's chopping bush, and he's chopping branches, and he's clearing this area that the supervisors want cleared. And at the end of the day, the boss says, you did good. Pays him. He says, you can come back tomorrow. So Antonio's like, okay, right on. Goes back tomorrow. Same thing. He's working hard, working so hard. And he's not keeping up as well with the other guys, but he's trying really hard. Gets paid at the end of the day. Boss says, you can come back tomorrow. Next day, the other guys are getting further and further ahead of them in the area they have to clear, and it's starting to be obvious he's not keeping up. He's got blisters all over his hands. He's not stopping for breaks to eat lunch. He's not stopping because he's just not keeping up with them, and he needs to, and he wants to impress his boss. Anyways, end of the day, the boss says, okay, here's your pay, and you're done. Yeah, we don't want you to come back. And Antonio was upset, obviously, because he's been really trying hard, and he's doing his best. He's not a lazy guy. He was really trying. And he said, well, what went wrong? And his boss looked at him and looked at the other guys, and they said, well, I can see you're working hard. I can see the blisters on your hand. I can see you're not trying not to get stuff done, but did you ever stop to sharpen your hatchet? And I just want to encourage all of you, do you ever stop to sharpen your hatchet, right? We do that through God's word. Like really, when we're spending time with God, it does. It prepares us to just in how we interact with others, how we interact with the stressors of the day, how we parent our kids. It really is so important. So I kind of wanted to.
And guys, it just continues to bring us back to our need for Jesus, right? Our need for his grace, our need for his mercy, our need for the cross of Christ in our life. We all will fail at different parts of our parenting. None of us will be perfect because only Jesus is perfect. But I do think it's God's way of continually reminding us of our need for him.
Yeah. So my next point, actually, and I love it that you guys are memorizing that verse. And that, can you put it back up on the screen or no? The Mark, what was it?
Mark 12:30.
Love God. That was my next point, was love God. While she's putting that up there, I just want to talk about love. So, Valentine's Day is coming up, right? So, I want to plan something to show my wife that I just love her and how important she is. Yeah. So you know, I want to get the right music and maybe pick up some flowers or whatever I'm going to do. And so I get my music picked out and I got my playlist and you know, I come home and you know, I just look at Sherry and I say, "Sherry, I just love you so much. I just think the world of you. I love your long, curly blonde hair. I love your baby blue eyes. How's it gonna go for me if I put on some really raunchy like the drywallers that we're doing our cabin, that kind of music that they listen to? How's that gonna go for me?"
Yeah, not so good.
No, she's gonna start turning green and smashing things. But in the same way, loving God, we need to that it throws back to His Word. I want to make you feel like I know you and I hear you and I appreciate you. So how can we do that towards the God we serve? When it says, "You shall love," this is the greatest commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. And guys, it's just, that was a big deal. In Jewish culture, there was like something like 613 laws that Jews had to follow, okay? There was like 248 or something like that that were like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And there was like 350 some that was like, don't do this, thou shalt not do this. So all these, in the Jewish culture, these guys were overwhelmed with all these laws. And some of the Pharisees thought they had it all together and had it all figured out. But their heart wasn't there. Their heart wasn't towards God. And so this question came up a lot. It comes up again in Luke. It comes up again in John. No, not John. It comes in Mark. It's in Mark, in Luke, and Matthew in different ways where people ask him or Jesus is talking to them and teaching about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's the greatest. I think in Matthew it says all the whole Old Testament can be summed up in this one verse. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That was, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to actually look at Deuteronomy, if you can, Deuteronomy 6. It's where Jesus was quoting this love God verse from.
Okay, so back in Deuteronomy, now the Old Testament.
Start with
here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. And when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Wow.
Yeah, so God's really saying when he wrote this, and this is what Jesus was quoting from, love God, teach your children to love God. It's important, take it seriously. How do you get to know God? You know, how do you love God? Yeah, through prayer. You get to know God through reading His Word. It's so important, just like I need to know that my wife doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. Okay, who is this God we serve? Press into who are you, God? You know, when you're feeding yourself, you're reading His Word and getting to know God. You know, and what did Jesus do? You sit down and read the book of Mark in probably an afternoon and you know, then read it every day for the next month again just to get a better understanding. What did Jesus say? What did he do? What's my reaction to that? You know, does it draw me towards him in love? I was talking to some Jehovah Witnesses. Actually, a pastor here had asked me to meet with them because they'd come to his house. And he just, I don't know why he asked me, probably because when they come to my house, I kind of have fun with it and just talk to them. They came to our house one time to see you. Sherry wasn't home, and I was butchering a cow in the garage, so I answered the door with a knife covered in blood, right? So it was kind of fun. But anyways, they left pretty quick. That was the fastest they ever left. Haven't come back. But anyway, so I go to Tim Hortons to meet these guys, and we just start talking. And, you know, their whole spiel is, do you want to know how you can just, you know, live in paradise, in happiness, you know, whatever? And they're saying, I'm like, yeah, that sounds a lot like the gospel message. Yeah, we're Christian too. We believe what you believe. I'm like, oh, you do? And we start talking about it, and I started pressing into them. So who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is actually Archangel Michael, and him and Satan are brothers. I'm like, okay, that's definitely a different Jesus than the Jesus I read about and the Jesus that is God that I worship, that you don't even consider him God. He's an angel, and yeah, that angel brother. Okay, that's interesting. And what else do you believe? Oh, well, we believe that basically God was once man, and we're all working to become gods ourselves, and one day we'll have our own worlds we can rule over. And I'm going, okay, first of all, you're not Christian, and you don't believe, you're praying and worshiping a different God, and you're worshiping a different Jesus. You don't know the God of Scriptures. You say you believe in the Bible, but I'm begging you guys, please read the Bible, because, you know, back in Isaiah it says, there's no other God, I'm the only God, there's no other God. Like, all over the book of John, it talks about Jesus. You know, in Hebrews, it says he's the exact representation of God. He is, in fact, God. It talks about that everywhere. So I go, how can you guys come up with this and be going around and sharing this message with other people when it is completely not the same God? So again, I just in loving God, in getting to know who he is, you know, it keeps going back to his word. But let's read the last part again, because that was, unless you had something to add to that.
No, I love that part where it said, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children, period. Impress them on your children. So if they're on our hearts and we know them, impress them on your children.
Yeah, and I think
talk. For what?
You know, that's, I just want to say, and mine is the ESV. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Mm. So same idea. Like, you shall, it's important. You shall ask them, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. And I guess that's the whole discipleship now. So you're feeding yourself, you're growing, you're moving towards God. You're cultivating, because you guys are, like, truly, let's all admit this, you guys are the atmosphere of your house, right? Like if I come home from work, I know within about 30 seconds of walking in the door what the atmosphere of the house is like, you know? And you know, the atmosphere could be good, and there was days when I would come home and from work, and when we had, like, five kids that were all, like, what, 12 and under or something, and it was just crazy, and I would walk in the door from a long day working, and Sherry would say, here's the babies, and I'm leaving. So I knew, okay, that wasn't a good day. And so, all, like, any of you single moms, I just want to, man, you're my heroes. I don't, like, it is such a huge responsibility with two people, you know, just, wow, you guys just keep doing what you're doing, because that's an incredible amount of work. But you guys do.
I do have to add, though, it didn't always go well. He didn't always say, oh, okay, and I could walk out the door, just so you guys know. Yeah, it didn't always go over.
And I guess,
but I would try.
This is probably a safe place for confessions. Sometimes I would be done work early, and I could go home right now, and I know what's going to happen. Or I could go and do some estimates, you know. So I think I'll drive around for 45 minutes and do estimates before I go home. So, yeah. But I mean, that's a lot of times. I think we worked pretty good together in the most part. But But yeah, the atmosphere of your house. So yeah, you guys are cultivating that. And, you know, I think you had something to say about atmosphere. Did you want to share that or no?
Oh, no. You know what? I truly believe in, even today, I get here early. And you know what? I put music on loud. Because you know what, guys? The atmosphere. Now, this is a little bit different than what you're talking for atmosphere. But you know what? So much, like you put, it changes the atmosphere. I can put worship on. My kids are bickering. They are fighting. They are just not getting along. And I just put worship on, man. I put music on and Jesus is proclaimed. It all of a sudden brings, the whole home changes. It really does. And so, he's talking more, like I remember when Pastor Len spoke here at Master's Moms, and he talked about the thermometer and how we as women are the thermometer gauge in our home, right? And I think you're kind of touching on that as the temperature, right? Like in the same way, we can set that tone. We can, like, we've got a lot of influence in our homes. So I think that's what you're talking on. But yeah, music does damage, man. Like Jesus' name is proclaimed. Same way as if you just pick up his Bible, like pick up the Bible, right? And start, I bet it would change. Actually, I'm going to try that this week, right? Pick up your Bible and start just reading, whatever, boldly, right? Just read it boldly. It will change the atmosphere. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so just the last point I had was teaching your children through conversations. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, God tells us, teach your children diligently, right? I mean, you guys are already overwhelmed. You're doing so much. And it's like, oh, great, this is another thing to do. But truly, it's not that way. Like the Pharisees in the Old Testament, they were like, I'm going to dial in all these 613 laws and get my little gold star, and I was thinking how awesome I am. And Jesus is saying, if you would love God first and love others, you'd be doing it all. Like, you're complicating it and making it way more difficult than it is, right? And that's what I love about this verse. Is it just goes back to, it says, talk to them when you sit at home. Who here ever sits down at home with their kids, right?
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to talk to your kids when you're sitting at home. It says, when you walk by the way. Okay, so we're not walking, we're mostly driving. But when you drive your kids to soccer practice, when you are driving to appointments, team sports, whatever you're doing, use those opportunities. One thing I love is that Sherry has always done, this morning again when I was dropping the kids off at school, it's like Joelle, our youngest, just starts praying right away as soon as we get in the car. And then the next kid, then because you've always use that time. You're redeeming time that you're not using for anything anyways for God's kingdom, right? Like, and truly, it just starts the day off good for the kids, you know? An ambulance drives by and she's taught them that too. It's like the kids will just automatically start praying, right? So it's like, here's some strange, kid that Sherry's giving a ride home or whatever, right? Like, or actually, we did have a neighbor there. Her car broke down. And she's like, oh, can you give my daughter a ride to school today? Because my car, okay, and these people like are totally, you know, very far from church or anything like that, right? So their daughter, who's a few years older than our kids, gets in our car, and our kids immediately start like praying on cue. It's like not like Sherry was praying, and this girl is just like, what? You know, then an ambulance drives by, right? And she's just like, what? Get me out of here.
Can I tell about Hayden? It was so neat. And were you there that time with the ambulance? And he had to have been, what, 14?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And all his, like, high school friends.
Because you were there. It's just, you know what? I have just made it a point. You have no idea what's going on in that accident. Right? So I'm just like, let's just pray for them as we're driving. Like, let's just pray for these kids, this person, whoever it might be. Right? Anyway, so tell the story of Hayden. That was just kind of interesting.
Yeah. So we're driving by,
it ingrains in their heart.
I'm taking them on a McDonald's run or something, and it's late at night, and it was, like, probably around Halloween or something. I can't remember exactly. But, like, you know, here's Hayden with all his, like, a van load of his high school friends, right? And, you know, very much unchurched friends, you know. And this ambulance drives by, and Hayden's like, okay, guys, turn the music off. Stop. We need to pray. And they're like, what? He's like, that ambulance is going to get somebody, and we need to pray for that person because that's an emergency. So he's got all his friends closing their eyes and praying with him for, you know, and it's not just him praying. He's got them praying too in the car. Like, they don't even know how to pray, but they're like, help the ambulance get to the hospital fast or something. But it was great. Like, it was just really, I think that's one of those things where you're teaching your children through conversations always. It says, we did when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. Anybody tuck their kids in at night? It's another good time. Like, you know, these aren't times that you have to go and search and find when's the right time. When you're tucking them in, just hey, talk to them about their day. What were there any God moments? You know, what was the best part of your day? A lot of times I'll ask my daughters, you know, and just try and point them towards recognizing God in those little moments, you know. And that's a good time to talk to your kids too about other stuff. Oh, so-and-so was picking on me, whatever. And you just talk about that, and you just talk through stuff. And I just want to encourage you, as your kids get bigger, even right now at this little age, talk to them. Even if it seems awkward, talk to them, because it'll be way less awkward later if you start now. You know, the conversations I have with my teenagers, with, you know, with my 17-year-old son, you know, are like, what's your internet usage look like? Where are you at spiritually? You know, and not all just Bible, but other stuff too. But some pretty conversations that, like, his friends come over, and they'll come and talk to me because they crave that communication with an adult and that kind of discipleship where they don't get with their own parents because their parents don't want to touch those subjects of, like, dating relationships or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. But you know, so I love that. Like, Jesus is telling us, talk to them as you go here, as you sit, as you tuck them in at night, as you walk. I don't know, what you talk to your kids a lot, so what would you say about that?
Oh, I think you do a better job talking to them than I do, but I think we do it differently. And I love, Rob asks the hard questions to our kids all the time, but he's done it since they're this big, right? And so as they grow, he just keeps asking them, right? And so it isn't awkward then, like you say. Nothing in my life, you were kind of done,
no,
right? Nothing in my life has shown me more how I need forgiveness and grace and mercy than raising kids. Guys, it's the hardest thing to do, and it's not a walk in the park. Yet God has instilled inside of us such a desire for children, right? But it has shown me so much forgiveness and grace and mercy. Because we're never, ever done parenting, right? One day these little people will be 22. Right? And you will still be parenting. It's just in a different way, and it just on a different level. Totally different level, but you still parent. Like, we all still, well, maybe not all of us, but you know what? I still phone my mom. I still want her thoughts, right? Like, you just parent differently. And it's the same with Jesus. And that's what I want to encourage you in. He never, ever changes. His word never changes. This stays the same, and you will continue to get new things out of it the more you read it. Like, he is the rock. He never changes, and he's there. But we always, always, always will need him, just like our kids will always need us, right? We will grow, though, hopefully. We will grow and change spiritually. And as we grow and change, Jesus will parent us differently along that journey.